2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy word instructs us, even in our home life. And our God, we thank Thee for the fact that even as we have learned over the past number of weeks, we have learned about our homes and how they should be conducted. So, our God, we pray that Thou wouldst bless us today and write Thy word upon our hearts and help us to glorify and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come down now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In our homes, it's important that we wisely handle the resources that the Lord has committed into our hands. The Lord is certainly concerned about the way that we look after the resources that we have been given in the family. It's good to remember that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that we have of good in the home and in our lives has been given to us by the Lord, and it's good to remember that. It includes our home, it includes the land that we have, the children that we have, the money that we have, and everything that we have of good that has been given to us has been given to us by the Lord. And that's a fact that's often forgotten. Indeed, it's sometimes forgotten even by God's people. And then there's another sense in which we need to remember that the good things that we have been given are only borrowed. We have only got them for a little while because we can't take them with us. And we have to hand on those things and those resources that we've been given. We have to improve and we have to pass on to another generation. We remember that the parable the Lord Jesus told one time about the resources that were given out in Matthew 25 about a lord, a master who went into a far country and he delivered his goods into the hands of his servants for them to take care of the resources. To one he gave one talent, to another he gave two talents, and to another he gave five talents. And the men with the five talents and the two talents treated them until they doubled their money. But the man with the one talent hid it in the ground and did nothing with it and gained nothing. And we read that the Lord came back one day and demanded of them what they had done with the resources that had been given. And the man with the five talents and the man with the two talents said that they had doubled their money. And the Lord blessed them and rewarded them for what they had done. But in speaking to the man with the one talent, he found that he had been an unfaithful steward and that he had done nothing with the money. He had hidden it and squandered it. And then the conclusion comes to the parable in Matthew 25 and verse 29. He says, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." So we have to give an account for our resources. We have to give an account for the homes, for the money, for the talents, for the lives that we've been given, for the years that we've been given. And so we need to use our talents, our homes, our resources to the greatest effect. And the Bible tells us about how we should use the resources that we've been given in our families. There's no greater wisdom than that which can be found in the Word of God. And that applies to everyday things as well as to the things of eternity. So what I want to do today is just to remember the resources. Remember the resources that we've been given in our homes and in our families. We want to see what the Bible has to say about that for a few moments today. Now, first of all, I want to think about the facilities of your home. We're thinking about the actual house or home that you've been given. We're thinking about the rooms of your home, the appliances in your home, the fixtures, the fittings of your home. You say, does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, yes, it does. Yes, the Bible has something to say about the very fixtures and the fittings and the very way that you use the rooms of your house. Now, first of all, we can say about that that a home must be well run. Proverbs 31, verse 27 speaks of a woman who's a good wife and a busy wife, and it says of her, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." We said that the wife is the house manager of the home, And she is the one who runs the home. In the days of Solomon, that would have included looking after the servants, manages the servants, and making sure that the home was run efficiently. And the first duty of a well-run home is to make sure that there's food on the table and the place is kept warm and there's food to feed the children. It's a duty of a husband and a wife to bring in resources and manage the resources that will be well spent so that there's money and food and there is water to drink and we have resources to feed the family. And we make sure that we do not get into such a state that we're not able to feed the family. We don't get into such debt that we're not able to pay off the debts. You know, maybe you say to me, well, it'd be good if the Lord was to give me more resources. And who wouldn't want more resources? But you know, sometimes you wonder perhaps why the Lord doesn't give you more resources. That's particularly true of a young couple starting off. Very often when we start off life as a married couple, we don't have much. There's not much resources. And maybe you wonder why that is. Well, we already alluded in some other of our messages to the fact that sometimes the Lord uses the fact of the slimness of resources to teach us lessons. You know, in that situation, a husband and a wife begin to lean upon one another. And the husband learns to sacrifice for the wife. And they learn to band together and to suffer together so that they are brought closer together in the midst of adversity. And sometimes the Lord uses slimness of resources to bring us together, to bind us together, and even in that sense, the Lord uses the slimness of resources to teach us. But we shouldn't stretch ourselves beyond ourselves. The Bible says, owe no man anything. In other words, don't go beyond what you can pay. Pay your bills. Pay your debts. You're to look well to the affairs of your household so that the resources are there. That also speaks about looking well after the resources of your household so that things are well kept. Now, we're not saying that you're to be so obsessed with your home that there's not a speck of dust. Because some people go that far that the home becomes a god. There needs to be a reasonable amount of tidiness so the place doesn't become a tip. But in the affairs of the household, we find that things should be well run. And we shouldn't waste our time on home so that we don't give our time to the Lord. But we find how that the Bible speaks of how things should be well run. And then the home should be well provided for. 2 Corinthians 12 and 14 says, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, we spoke about this verse before, and we said that it's not necessarily advocating laying up an inheritance for them when you die, but it advocates laying up for them so that when the bills of life come along, you'll be able to pay them. When the children need to be put through school or put through college, when they have medical bills, that you'll be able to pay for them, laying up for your family, so that when they have bills to come along, that we'll be able to manage for them. We need to look to the future expenditures that come along. It's an unwise person that doesn't look to the future expenditures that come along. Not just living for today. A Christian doesn't just live for today, but a Christian lives for the future as well. He lays up for the future. We need to be thinking about the obligations of tomorrow. So our household is not only to be well run, but to be well provided for. Then something else about the facilities of your home. They are to be well used. Well used. Use your home for the service of the Lord. God has given you facilities and rooms in your house. And you can use those rooms even for the extension of the kingdom of God. Remember when Paul wrote about the qualifications of the elder, and he said of them, and he describes them, it says in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And you notice how that one of the things that should be true of him, and should be true of every spiritual Christian, is that he's given to hospitality. That meant in the context of the scriptures, he was a lover of strangers and of entertaining strangers. He would bring strangers into his house. He was willing to bring them into his home and give them food. Now, unfortunately, we live in a society where you would wonder whether it is wise to advise somebody to bring a stranger into the house and feed them. But in normal circumstances, it should be true that when we see a stranger in need or a person in need, we bring them in. We think of the days when homes were open and the kettle was always on the stove and the door was always open. We think of Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18. And we think of how when Paul came into the city of Corinth, that pair opened their home and they brought the apostle in and shared their home with him. And they provided for him, and it cost them to provide for him, but they were great in their hospitality. And it's especially true that we should have hospitality one to another if we're Christians. We need to have hospitality. In 1 Timothy 5 and 10, Paul described godly widows, and he said of them that they were well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. In 1 Peter 4 and 9, Peter said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's a command of Scripture. Could I say in practical terms, you could open your home next week to some of the students and bring them in. Use hospitality one to another. You can be busy, but you can be too busy in that we haven't time even to use our homes in that respect and even bring unsaved people in. And by your hospitality, you can win them by your friendship and bring them to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we can use the facilities of our homes. Our homes should be well run, well provided for, and well used. But secondly, could we think not only of the facilities in your home, but the folk in your home? Now, we could count them as assets too, because in any labour force, the men and women who do the labour are counted as assets. Now, if we're going to have assets that are going to be used, they need to be well trained. You find that in any business. If a business is going to use its workforce or its labour, it's got to train the workforce and the labour in order to do the work aright. And they need to be trained. Now, we have already seen how that we train our children. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it is old, it will not depart from it. Training is not just educating the child. Training involves moulding the child, its experiences, its discipline, and by all means that we can to mould that child into a useful citizen. And we spoke about the need for discipline that should be done consistently and thoroughly and lovingly. But we have not perhaps touched upon the need for children to be productive in the home. We think of the parable of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 21, where he said, the father said to his boy, son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son was expected to work. The book of Proverbs says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. We think of the boy Samuel who assisted Eli and the little maid who helped Naaman the Syrian. They were commended in the Scriptures because of their diligence. We think of the Lord Jesus himself, who when he was 12 years of age said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He was doing his Father's business, and it's good for the children to be trained early to know how to work. Now, we shouldn't treat them as slaves by any means, but it's good for them to work, to be helpful around the home. So there are resources of people in the home. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We think of Priscilla and Aquila that opened their home to Paul and how it cost them to give their lives to the Lord. And when Paul left Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila went with them. They gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave up their homes, at least for a little while, that they might go and serve the Lord. So we are to present our bodies as living sacrifice. Every one of us in our home, we are resources too. Every one of us as people of God, we are resources. We are soldiers in the army of the King of Kings. And we might think of our money and our property and our resources that have been given to us. We have been given those that were saved to the extension of the kingdom of God. We need to use those resources. So we think of the folks in the home. How are you serving the Lord? How is your family serving the Lord? We think of the facilities of the home. We think of the folks in the home. But then we come to another resource that we have in the home, and that's the finances of your home. The Bible is clear about the stewardship of money. And the Bible speaks about the stewardship of the money that the Lord has given us. And the first principle in the Bible of handling finances is honesty. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 here. Paul speaking about the finances of the home, and he says in verses 20 and 21, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So we're not only to be honest in the sight of God in the way that we handle our finances, but we're to be honest in the sight of men. In other words, if there are things that might just be straighter, they might just be honest, but there's a little bit of doubt about it, we avoid it. If there is something that people tell us, well, that's straight and upright and all the rest, but there's a little bit of doubt, and it might seem to other people that we're not being straight and we're not being honest, you stay clear of it. We're not only to be honest, we're not only to be straight in the sight of the Lord, but we're to be straight and honest in the sight of men. There needs to be an avoidance of dodgy schemes. Things that other people are involved in, and we might convince ourselves that they're all right, but if there's any question about them, stay away from them. There must be complete honesty about the way that we conduct the finances of our homes. And then secondly, there needs to be generosity in about the way we conduct the finances of our homes. That's particularly true of giving to the Lord's work, of laying aside part of the budget to support the work of God and our brothers and sisters who are in need also. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the work week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And if you look at that verse, you see principles about the way that we should give to the work of God and give to others. The first thing is, give regularly. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. You may be paid monthly, you may be paid irregularly. But the verse speaks of laying aside so that you can give upon the first day of the week. That's part of the worship of God on the Lord's day. We bring our gifts, as in the Old Testament they brought sacrifices, and the sacrifices cost. So we bring gifts and give them to God. That's part of the worship. And we give regularly. Not only do we give regularly, but we give individually. Let every one of you lay by him in store. It's not that one member of the family gives and all the rest give some nominal sum. Everyone should give. That includes the children. Boys and girls, when you get money, you should give the tenth part of that at least to the Lord. And mommies and daddies in this meeting, you should teach your children early to give at least the tenth part to the Lord. We're to give individually. We're to give relatively, as God hath prospered. £20 might be a great deal of money to one person in this congregation. It mightn't be such amount to another. The widow's mite was given out of penury in the temple. It was worth a lot more than the Pharisees' plenty. But let me tell you that poverty is not an excuse not to give at all. I want you to realize that in giving it, it's not as much as you give, but how much you give from your heart. It's the heart that the Lord's interested in. Tell me, what kind of heart are you giving to the Lord's work? Do you try to avoid the plate if you can? You mightn't have much, but you can give what you can to the Lord. And if there is no collection on Sunday, would you complain? Would you miss it? Would you say there's been no collection today? There's no plate there. Give relatively. And we should be giving to the Lord's work. But then we give willingly. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, that we're reading, it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Don't give because you must give. Give willingly. Give it because you're furthering the gospel. Give it because you're exalting the Lord of heaven. Don't delay your giving. If the Lord lays it upon your heart to give to some part of the work, to some particular brother or sister, to some particular missionary, if God has laid it upon your heart, "I must give something to that missionary, give something to that brother, give something to that sister," then you give it now. Give it now. And give it promptly, because if you don't give it, the Lord will probably raise up somebody else. But you miss out on the blessing. You see, the Lord sometimes takes from one person and gives one person a little bit of poverty so that some other brother or sister has the joy of giving to them. And you know, we shouldn't treat it as a charity, you know, if brethren and sisters give to one another. We shouldn't treat it as some kind of a slight upon us that somebody has it laid upon their hearts to give to us. That's not what we should be thinking. But if it is laid upon the heart of someone to give to some other one, then we should give it willingly. And especially that is so to the church itself. We should give willingly. Then we should give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "God loveth a cheerful giver." The thought is there that you may do it in a grudging way. You have grudging givers. You're sorting out what you should give to the work of God, and you suddenly begin to think of things that you could do with the money. That's given it grudgingly. You may think of what you could spend that money on tomorrow. You think of what the Lord did for you. How He did not grudge to give Himself for you. And then you can give to the Lord's work expectantly, because the Lord is no man's debtor. If you give to the Lord, you'll get more in return. You'll never want if you give to God's work. Maybe you've seen that truth in the past year, because many of you have given generously to the building fund. I'm sure that many of you here have given maybe hundreds of pounds to the building fund. I want to ask you this. Are you any worse off? Have you really suffered as a result? Have you suffered as a result? The Lord is no man's debtor. You think of the widow of Zarephath. When Elijah came, the Lord had commanded Elijah to go to this widow of Zarephath in the middle of a famine, and she had nothing. And when Elijah went to her, what had she to give? She had nothing. Nothing. She was just one handful of meal, and that was all she had. And she was baking a cake with sticks in it, so that she and her, or she was gathering sticks anyway, that she and her son might die. But Elijah came, and Elijah said, give me the very little bit that you have. Give it to the Lord's servant. Give it to the Lord's work, as it were. Give it to the Lord's prophet. Give me it." And what did she do? She gave it. She gave it. She gave it, even though it was her last bit. She gave it. And what happened? Well, every day that she went down to the barrel of meal, it wasn't emptied. And she went down to the cruse of oil, and it wasn't emptied. And she was provided for throughout that famine because she gave to the Lord's work. Oh, you see how God gave her back more. I read about a farmer who was a very generous man to the work of God. Indeed, he was so generous to the work of God that his neighbors wondered about him. They wondered how, they couldn't understand how he gave so much to the work of God and still was well off. And they went one day and asked him how come that he gave so much away and he was still well off. And he said, "Well, you see, it's like this." He said, "I have a shovel, and I shovel what I have into the Lord's work. And the Lord has a shovel, and He shovels it back into my work. And He says, the thing is that the Lord's a bigger shovel." And the Lord has a bigger shovel. And that's the truth. I could quote to you of men prosperous men who gave to the Lord's work and the Lord prospered. You think of William Colgate toothpaste. H.P. Crowell of Quaker Oats. Heinz of the 57 varieties. Kraft of Kraft cheese. All were men who tithed to God's work, and more than tithed. Indeed, they gave vast amounts to God's work, and God prospered. Now, I'm not telling you that you'll become a millionaire if you give to God's work, but I believe that God will prosper those who do give. So you can give expectantly. You can give expecting the blessing, but give sacrificially. Give until it hurts. Christ said, it says of Christ rather that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our Savior gave sacrificially for us. Should we do any less for him? Not only giving the tithe is the Lord's, but then we start giving when we give the tithe. And Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be room meet in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And we see how that we give generously. So how are you doing with the resources in your home? How have you been doing with the facilities of your home? How have you been doing with the folk in your home? How have you been doing with the finances in your home? God obviously looks upon these things very seriously indeed. One day we will give an account. One day we will give an account of the resources that we have been using. Will it be said of you that you ate, drunk, and were merry? You gave your time, you wasted in front of the television set. How have you been using the resources of your home? May the Lord help us to use those resources well in the incoming days. Whether it be the facilities that we have, whether it be our sales, or whether it be the finances that we have, may we use those resources well to the extension of the kingdom of God. May God write his word upon our hearts today, and may we remember the resources.